Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Another, I don't know if I'd call this a super Saturday. I would call it a soggy Saturday, December 16th. 9 days away from the big man making his stops across the area. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And Ben Baseball Botham is actually playing up. I can't believe this. Of course, I'm fortunate to have Joe Geiger with me. I can't believe they're playing baseball today up at Seminole, the Warhawks. It's their annual alumni versus the incoming team. Kind of a cool tradition there, Joseph, but a little soggy to be playing baseball today.
Yes. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, I thought you muted me.
Heck no. You haven't made a mistake yet. I'll make more than you, brother.
Yeah, no, baseball is not a good sport to be playing in the rain. The dirt gets wet quick. Your hands are all slippery. It's just never fun to play baseball in the wet rain and the cold. It's never fun.
Especially, it's an alumni and regular team. And baseball, Ben Botham, of course, went to Georgia Southern, and he pitched at Savannah State. He's an assistant coach now. He wants to show off his 25-year-old arm. We'll see what happens there. So looking forward to a quick little conversation in the second hour. Brad Richardson, of course, the voice of the Seminole Warhawks, and one of our high school insiders. He'll join us. As always, jam-packed show. I've loaded it up again. We don't have anybody down here in the house. We're live at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armors, and we're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. But as far as guests, we do not have anybody in the house today. But we've got some great guests. We've got Barry Smith. You've got the Green Bay Packers, Tampa Bay Bucks doing battle tomorrow on Sunday at Lambeau. Yeah, tomorrow, yep, at Lambeau Field. The Frozen Tundra, where he was the number one draft pick. I've been in that stadium many times. It's a lot of rich tradition. And he'll be live from just outside the stadium this morning about at 11:30 our time. So stay tuned for that, and he'll give us a little perspective. Of course, our Rowdy segment with Jim Hart and David Wilson. We're also going to talk to Jake Perper. We're very close to our Sunbash tournament at Northside Christian. We'll be doing live play-by-play. Brad Richardson, Joe Geiger will be involved. I'll come in at the last day to help out, but that's at Northside Christian. Great high school basketball. Teams from New Orleans, teams from New York. Teams from all around the state. Charlie Ward will bring his University of Florida State high school team down. And they were down last year and thrilled everybody. He's just the kindest cat on the planet. And so humble, Charlie Ward, the Heisman Trophy winner. Point guard for the New York Knicks. I mean, there's versatility. And as a young Florida State Seminole fan, well, rabid fan, I'm going to introduce you to Charlie Ward because he is one cool cat.
Yeah, no, I've actually met Charlie Ward once before. They do the sod talk over at Tallahassee on game days at Sod Cemetery, and he was there doing that once, and I was able to actually meet him and get an autograph, although it wasn't a quick meet.
Sod Cemetery? What the hell is that?
It's when the team gets a big road win against a raked opponent or against Florida or against Miami, or when they're underdogs on the road, they take a piece of sod from the field, like grass or dirt or turf.
From the opponent?
From the opponent's field, usually like one of the painted sections, and they bury it right outside the stadium.
I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Yeah, it's been around since Bobby Bowden was there, so that's pretty much
it. Well, if Bobby Bowden did it, bravo. It's cool, because I love that cat. God rest his soul. And that was the glory years. But you're just on the cusp. I know you're still upset about the outcome. We'll talk ball games here in a minute. Then we're going to talk to Peter Blake. Of course, Peter Blake, one of the really solid local anchors covering sports. He's got his own Facebook and YouTube channel. He works with J.P. Peterson. You name it, he's got his finger on the pulse. But we're going to talk to him a little bit about a boxing. I'll just leave a little teaser. A boxing venue that he was at. And they call Peter Blake the Rolex man. Look it up. And then Brandi Winan, she's the president of the Sports Club of Tampa. We'll be efforting her, if I can speak properly. And so jam-packed show. And, of course, as I said, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're on our flagship, and that is WTAM 106.1 FM, AM 1340. And then, of course, 102.38 FM, AM 1350. Up north, Lake City, Gainesville, WGRO AM 1250 and WDSR AM 1340. And, of course, on our Tan Talk Radio Network. We are also on our platform, RadioSaintPete.com, and that is Florida Sports Streams. And that's where you can catch our archives of all of our shows. Big Monday, of course, on the tee. Florida had a nice, really nice show on Thursday. And, of course, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And your show.
The Bump That Media Radio Talk Show. We had a great show yesterday.
You had an excellent show. I love the diversity of your high school coverage. And then, of course, you throw in a little Christmas trivia, which you guys, for the most part, get a big old D-minus from the old man.
It was tough.
You were Christmas Vacation, though, right?
Yeah.
You were on my team. You were Christmas Vacation because your entire family, the Geiger family, the Geiger Griswold family, I love that. And, so bravo to you. The rest of your gang, not so much.
Yeah, some of them... I don't know how you don't like Christmas Vacation. It's hilarious.
It's a cinematic classic. Are you kidding me? And Polar Express?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
That's a bizarre movie.
But it is kind of classic, though.
Well, it's classic, and Tom Hanks is a genius. But here's the one that really upset me. Gavin Van Dyke. I'm glad he's not here because I would humiliate him. Can't stand Elf.
I know.
Elf is one of the... Now,
Elf's a good one.
It grew on me. But now that
it's a little silly, but
it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's over the top. Look how I dressed during Christmas. Not today. I didn't know we were going to have an audience. And Kenny and Sherry Knoll showed up, and they're bringing a posse up here. We're actually, if you do come down, we're upstairs in the back where we typically broadcast our On the Tee Florida. And, of course, Fist Bump Media is also on there. So, Joseph, let's dive into the Body Armor scores. What's going to take place? Busy weekend. And you got NFL on a Saturday. You got 6 bowl games. You got a little recap of, you know, the state championships were last week finalized on Saturday. Hey, by the way, we're going to get... And people have been calling him Coach Chow for years, the head coach of Berkeley Prep. I talked to him yesterday. It's CL, C-I-A-L. He said they just butchered it so much, I let him go with it. We're going to have the Berkeley Prep head coach on right after the holiday. He'll bring a few of the fellas down. Of course, the only state champions to come out of Hillsboro this year.
That's right. 2M out of Tampa.
And 70 years young, his first state championship. And guess what state he went to college in?
Florida.
The great state of Iowa.
Iowa.
Loras College. Anyway, so we had a lot in common. So we'll have him on. So take it away, my man.
Yeah, so I will name each of the state champions throughout the state of Florida from 1M to the AA conferences. We had Chaminade Madonna winning the 1M. Hawthorne won the 1 Rural. The 1S tournament champ was Cardinal Mooney. The 2M champ was Berkeley Prep. 2S was Coco. 3M was St. Thomas Aquinas. 3S was Mainland. Columbus won the 4M state championship. The 4S was Lakeland. And the FFIC was Archer Bob Carroll. The SSAC 8-man low A was Liberty Christian Prep. The 8-man 2A was Canterbury. The 8-man 3A was Merritt Island. And the 8-man 4A was Shorecrest Prep.
We had Shorecrest Prep down here, and we're going to get him on down here in January as well. A lot of multi-sport athletes on that team, though, so a lot of them are basketball players.
Yeah, and then for some soccer scores this week, we'll start at Wednesday. Dunedin beat Countryside 3-0 girls soccer. St. Pete beat Lakewood 8-0. Boys soccer, Countryside beat Dunedin 8-1. St. Pete beat Lakewood 7-0. Palm Harbor University beat Tampa Catholic 3-1. Thursday girls soccer, Eastlake put up 10 on Clearwater, winning 10-0. Northeast beat Boca Ciega 2-1. Palm Harbor University beat Calvary 2-1. And then moving on to boys from Thursday, Clearwater beat Eastlake 1-0. Northeast beat Boca Ciega 4-0. And then girls soccer and boys soccer on Friday, Countryside beat Largo 3-1. Osceola beat Seminole 4-3 in the Battle of the Bridge. Countryside beat Largo 1-0, and St. Pete beat Dunedin 7-2. Moving on, it's bowl season is among us today, as December 16th kicks off bowl season with a bunch of bowl games today, starting off one that actually kicked off right now at 11 o'clock, the Myrtle Beach Bowl between Georgia Southern and Ohio. The Cricket Celebration Bowl has the FAMU Rattlers out of Tallahassee taking on Howard. That is actually the HBCU National Championship.
What's the name of that bowl?
The Cricket Celebration Bowl, but it is the it's actually the HBCU National Championship game, usually, I'm pretty sure. It's up in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. And FAMU is a heavy favorite. They have, I think, one loss, maybe just none. And Howard, I believe, is only 6-5. So FAMU should be a good favorite to take home that one. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl has Jacksonville State taking on Louisiana at 2:15.
Jacksonville State. Hey, if you want lines, I've been studying that because I've got some exciting news in 2024. Take Jacksonville.
The Cure Bowl up in Orlando has Miami of Ohio taking on App State.
Take App State.
Always take App State in a bowl.
Take App State, baby.
New Mexico Bowl, it's New Mexico State versus Fresno State. The L.A. Bowl has UCLA versus Boise State. And tonight at 9:15, ending the day, in the Radiance Tech Independence Bowl, you have Texas Tech taking on California.
Take Texas Tech, the Red Raiders. Take UCLA. Let me see my other picks. And take Ohio in that Georgia Southern matchup. And that's where Baseball Ben Botham and went to get his graduate degree.
That's pretty much who I've picked in my bowl pick'em here. I got Ohio.
See, you and I on the same page.
I got Ohio.
Christmas vacation. You're my new stepson because you're loyal, consistent, and you got an old heart, and you know how to pick football games.
I got Ohio, FAMU, Jacksonville State, App State, New Mexico State, UCLA, and Texas Tech.
New Mexico State's going to roll.
Yeah, New Mexico State's had a good season.
Well, and they've got Jerry, I can't think of his last name right now.
And they're also playing, you know, in the New Mexico Bowl, and they are New Mexico State. So they should have a little bit of home field advantage.
Yeah, I like the creativity of that bowl name. And then what's the other one I like? Is it the L.A. Bowl? It's got UCLA in it.
Yeah.
Yep. What's the bowl game? The L.A. Bowl. Okay. Well, We're gonna have the Florida Bowl over here
Raymond James. Have the St. Pete Bowl.
Hey, I went to.
I miss it.
I went to it a couple of times when I first moved here in 2017. And we used to have the East-West Shrine Game.
Yes, I remember. And we used to have the All-American game there. Well, Jameis Winston actually played in that game one year, the year before he got to Florida State.
When he was in high school?
Yeah, they used to have the All-American game.
Well, here's a little factoid. RadioSt.Pete.com, Joe Bordeaux, they had the broadcasting rights to the East-West Shrine Game. And when they sold the rights, unfortunately, that deal went amiss. But I was involved in promoting and selling. I just got into town and worked for Fergs, but I had a blast. And do you remember how the field was set up over in the Trop?
Oh, yeah. You had the...
it was a weird angle, man.
It was like into the outfield, and then they had like those bleachers up by second base area.
Oh, yeah. No different.
I think Ferg actually gave me and my dad tickets to the... one of the Beef O'Brady Bowl or St. Pete Bowl, whatever it was that year.
I'm sure he did. He got a pile of tickets.
Because we were walking out with our hands in the air, and he gave them to us. I'm pretty sure it was him.
You were going to buy. You didn't know you were going to get freebies. Hey, speaking of tickets and events, unfortunately, due to the weather, our good friend Jim Hart in our Tampa, of course, in our Tampa Bay Rowdy segment, talking a little soccer. You would have been a very busy man right now. But unfortunately, Mother Nature didn't cooperate, and he had to move your champions' play today down at Al Lang to January, my man.
That's exactly right. Yes, we would be about 20 minutes into the second semifinal right now. We'd have had one girls' team finalist and one boys' team finalist. David would have been homing down the fort at Jesuit, and I would have been out at Palm Harbor High School reporting live. But it didn't turn out that way.
Well, you've got, what is it, about a month now for preparation. I don't know what the weather will be like in January, but I certainly didn't anticipate this kind of front coming through, and I know you didn't.
No, it's unique, and we're real positive and enthusiastic. And actually, Mike, I think there could be a real upside to moving this thing back 4 weeks because it gives us more time to build up the game. Ryan Helfrich, as you can imagine, has been instrumental in this whole process, helping us get Al Lang set up and coordinating with us on the press release, which you saw. And he's discussing his enthusiasm for getting the game publicized, even that much more. So we're in good spirits. We're excited. And there's a couple of issues that it's raised, which maybe we can talk about this morning. Yep, lots going on in the world of high school soccer and in the world of soccer in general.
Hey, I noticed the other night, and Joe Geiger's across from me, and he went back to his alma mater to see his Boca Ciega Pirates, where he played, and then I live right next to Northside Christian, and I thought, man, that's a long game over there. All I could hear, well, I didn't realize that the boys and the girls played at the same dates, and they have gals in the first game, boys in the second. Is that across the area?
That's standard. It doesn't happen in every game, but it's common. And what we do is we're doing the same thing, as you know, with the Champions League final. And what we do is year after year, we alternate which team gets the first game and which team gets the second game, because the second game kind of feels like the main event slot. You know what I mean? So the boys were in the second slot last year. The girls were in the first slot. And in the season, the same thing takes place. In the first part of the season, it'll be the girls in the first slot. The second part of the season, the boys in the first slot. So, yeah, it's a common thing. It's been happening that way for quite a while.
David, you got your feet up on the couch right now, taking a little siesta since you're not on the sidelines today?
Yeah, I'm actually not. I didn't have to be out early this morning in the games all day long, so I'm actually in Walmart right now because I had to pick up a few things here, and I'm sure I have a list of things to do now that I didn't know I was going to do today.
Oh, hell.
Home too. Yeah.
Here comes that honey-do list. I know that the youngster across from me, they're going to play a little flag football competition from some old cronies. Maybe they need an official. You need some excuse to get out of the house?
Yeah, I might. Actually, my wife was supposed to, she's an athletic trainer, so she was going to work the game this morning also at Palm Harbor for us. And so now she has the whole 3 day and still was up about 7 a.m. and started wrapping Christmas presents. And I was like, well, at least you got that done now, so. There's a plus to it. We're ready to go in January and looking forward to it. It would have been kind of a miserable day today for people. We probably could have got in the morning games, but it would have been a mess of the fields tonight at Al Lang. So I think overall it was the best decision to move games.
You know who loves you the most is the groundskeepers for not playing on that field.
Yeah, absolutely. And we even had alternative plans because the schools have worked so well with us with Palm Harbor and Jesuit even said, hey, we can even host the finals if we can't play at Al Lang. But we wanted to still do it there. We wanted to still make it an experience where people can come out and watch the game. And from the weather forecast, it looked like it was going to be miserable. And then when they start talking about flooding and stuff like that, I was like, we didn't want to put people at a risk and bring them out for this.
And potential tornadoes. Let's talk about the high school side of things right now, real quick. I have a couple questions regarding, and I know we've discussed this before, how unfortunate it is for high school soccer to be at this time of the year because you had the Thanksgiving break, now you have the Christmas break. How long a break did they take in between games now? For these high school kids that aren't playing in the Champions League?
Well, it really depends on what school and what county you're in. In Pasco County, all the schools have school next week, but we still play games next week. So I know my team has 3 games still coming up, and there are finals. So we schedule games on Thursday and Friday, so there's no finals there. But it's some of the schools are done now, and they won't play again until they get back like January 9th or 10th. So they have a big break. But when you look at some of the schools that have coaches that are, year after year in contention and for state titles and things, they play in you know, the Jesuit, what's called the Tempe Invitational in the beginning of January, and they get right back at it.
Well, as a coach, that kind of takes your mojo from you and your team, and you got to reassemble them. And I'm sure you're practicing the entire time, but, you know, it was again, just a brilliant idea for you guys to have your Champions League during that period of time, so you'd have more participation and support.
Yep, I agree.
Jim, you can agree in your brilliance?
Yeah, definitely. So, listen, David's had a big week. His Wiregrass team got a statement win this week. And David made an appearance on a national podcast this week with Perry Vanderbeck talking about the Champions League. So it's kind of been the Dave Wilson week.
Does that mean I have to send him a check every week for his appearance fees?
the same amount you send me.
Yeah, the same amount we get for doing the Champions League.
I'll double what I send Jim.
Okay.
Deal.
So what do you guys, let's on a lighter note, let's talk a little holidays. What do you gentlemen, I'll start with you, Jim, what do you got on the docket for Christmas? I know you're busy at Thanksgiving with family, but what do you got going on this coming weekend?
Nothing special, just modest, hanging out with Mrs. Hart and just, you know, Christmas movies and a little bit of family time, just easy retirement life.
Okay, favorite Christmas party. I'm sure you've got plenty of those. favorite Christmas movie of all time?
Miracle on 34th Street, the original.
Well, you're showing your age, but it actually is a classic.
What about you, Mike?
Well, I have so much depth with my IQ. Christmas Vacation and a cinematic classic. By far. David?
All right, David.
Yeah, I was going to say, I loved the movie Die Hard, and we'll get into the argument about that.
Oh, my God, that's the last thing I thought you'd say.
No, that's not a Christmas movie. I know, that's why I said it. But I do actually enjoy that movie, but I would definitely say Elf is my favorite Christmas movie. I just love the humor in it and the stupid humor, and it just, you know, makes me feel like, all right, it's definitely Christmas when I see that. So, but I was going to mention too that I have, you know, for Christmas, that as much as I do like Christmas, the best time for me is we have three boys that are grown now and out of the house, and I get them all three home for Christmas, which is great. And my youngest son he graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy and is at flight school now, flying planes, and find out soon whether he'll be flying fighters or what kind of plane he's at, and he'll actually get to be home for a few days, and it's great to be able to see him along with my other two there.
Well, you know what, bravo, that's what every grandpa's and father's dream is, and I'm fortunate I'm going to be going back to Iowa the day after. I haven't seen my grandkids at Christmas since I moved here. And well, congratulations on your son. I have a cousin that is a colonel, retired colonel now in the Air Force, and he graduated from the academy, and I was blessed to go out there and go to football games, and they got married in that gorgeous church out
chapel.
There.
So
you've had all the memories, but isn't that just and to watch them successful on the national football scene this year has been a lot of fun for your son. I'm sure you jumped on that bandwagon too.
He definitely did. And my son, when he was there, I mean, he engulfed himself in it. He actually was the mascot his entire time there. So he put on the bird suit. Yeah, he put in the bird suit, and he would go to, I mean, travel around the country with football and basketball. And then during the NCAA final, you know, the tournament or whatever else, he did a commercial for Nissan. So every time there was a commercial, I could see him during the NCAA basketball games. It was just a blast to watch it.
How cool was that?
You're going to do something, you go at it. And he's that kind of kid that has just been, you know, very outgoing and very go-get-it type of kid. And we couldn't be more proud of him. But I did. I'm such an Air Force football fan now that I watch every game every week. And sometimes they don't play until 11 o'clock at night because they're on the West Coast or something. But I'll stay up and watch them.
Well, I've watched them often just because of that affiliation. That's decades ago. But now I have another reason, knowing that your son at one time was the Falcon. But what a great gig when he gets to be an old man. Now, Grandpa, talk about your Air Force career. Well, my highlight was I was the mascot. weren't you an accomplished pilot? Oh, that doesn't hold a candle to what I did.
Yeah. It the funny part for me is he would go into, like, they went to the Children's Hospital one time, and all the kids would all me know and be in there and doing the mascot, and then he had to take the costume off and come out, and he'd see these same kids, and he was like, nobody knows who I am. Everybody loved me a minute ago.
Put the costume back on. I wonder if I could borrow it so somebody would love me.
Yeah.
I wear it down here at Ferg's. Well, gentlemen.
Get the bird of pairs.
That's a great story. Well, enjoy your families. I don't think we should do a show next week. I really haven't examined it. I think everybody will be in holiday mode. So more than likely, this is our last conversation before the Christmas break. And I want to thank you for this. I want to thank the Rowdies, of course, Coca-Cola, Body Armor. And as they say, we've only just begun. Speaking of that, I got to take my mom to a Carpenter's Christmas tonight, and I never was a Carpenter's fan, so we've only just begun this. it's going to be a long night. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I'm probably going to have my phone and YouTube TV watching a bowl game. But anyway, fellas, I appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with my lack of knowledge in the world of soccer, but we got through it. For 2023, and I'll get better in 24, and I'm going to bring Joe into these conversations as he played over at Boca Ciega, and we'll get somebody on this end that can also interrelate to the language, the ins and outs of soccer. But we'll have some fun.
Beautiful. Well, Merry Christmas. Beautiful. Happy holidays.
Hey, we love you, big man. Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you in 2024. Well, that was a cool story, huh? It's like to be the mascot traveling, not only football and basketball. And I remember when they made their March Madness run. It was superb.
Who, Air Force?
Yeah. Air Force. He was the mascot for Air Force basketball and Air Force football, and he is an ad in the March Madness.
Hey, any way to get free tickets?
When you get to Florida State, you need to put your name in for that.
Well, I'd have to be the guy who plants the spear at midfield. That's our only mascot.
You can do it. You get a javelin, borrow a javelin. Hey, speaking of, I brought it up on that conversation. Did you go to the soccer game the other night?
Yeah, I did, the bogey game, yeah.
Was anybody there besides you guys?
A couple people, some parents.
Yeah, good,
proud
good.
Parents.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. We're going to go up to Green Bay, Wisconsin, to the frozen tundra. And our good friend, of course, Barry Smith, he's up there for the Bucks and the Packers tomorrow, and a must-win for both teams, actually. And that's a tough place to play. But the Bucks took us down. I say us because I'm a Packer fan. Took us down to go to the Super Bowl, so they're not unfamiliar with winning up there at Lambeau Field. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Brandy Winans, and of course, Peter Blake and Jake Berkper, and of course, Barry Smith. We'll be right back. The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSaintPete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on a kind of sloppy, soggy Saturday down here at Ferg's 104 televisions. Come on down. We got NFL game six, bowl games. And plenty to watch, warm up, have a hot toddy. Brought to you by, of course, our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. And a gentleman, I guarantee you, I'm not throwing him under the bus, I guarantee you he's had a toddy. Because you have to have a toddy when you are in Lambeau, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on a Saturday morning prior to the game the next day. And he's kind enough to join us. He was the number one draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. And then he moved back to the Sunshine State to get his carcass thawed out and play for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he's Barry Smith, my good friend. What's up, my man?
Well, I can tell you one thing. It is not rainy and soggy up here in Titletown, USA. It's overcast, 43 degrees. And like I said, there's no frozen tundra, not this weekend. But we're doing good.
43 degrees?
43 degrees. That's a spring afternoon.
Yes, it really is. You got the shorts on, your Hawaiian shirt on, and people staring at you?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Yesterday, now I'm traveling here with my posse. I got a couple nephews. I got Wesley Stiles and Jeffrey Stiles that are with me. We came up this weekend to have a little fun. And we have, you know, those parkas that we should be wearing to keep us warm. Don't need it. We're just long sleeve shirts.
Well, so you brought them, and they'd never been up to Lambeau. Don't you love the look on people's face when you take them around Green Bay? You know, they've heard about it for decades, and then when they really see it, and their eyes are open. I don't care if you're a Packer fan or not. It's a slice of American history, and it's so damn cool.
Mike, you are so right. I mean, it's a very unique franchise, and we all know that. You know, the community owns it. It'll never be moved and all that. The Packer fans are just wonderful. They really are. But it's a unique place up here in Green Bay. And let me tell you what, we had some fun yesterday bebopping around the city. And, you know, Toddy started early in the morning until late at night.
Hey, do you happen to stick your head in the Fuzzies yet? You got to make a stop at Fuzzies. I hope he's still open.
Today,
still open.
We have a lot of stops we're making today. Trust me, we were all over in around the city yesterday. Of course, we wound up in the casino last night, but that's a whole nother story. But we did, you know, we were over Lambeau. We did, over Lambeau, but we're actually heading back here a little bit to actually do the real tour and the Hall of Fame and all that so my nephews can, get the whole experience.
Well, of course, you got to go over to Brett Favre's. I mean, there's so many great spots before a game. I bet they were amazed. I bet they were amazed at how close proximity the homes are around that stadium. It's like a neighborhood here on the north side of St. Pete.
Right, let me tell you, they have all those homes right around the stadium during the season. They look like little condos, and Airbnbs. You know, they rent them out. Everybody tailgates, and it's incredible. I'm looking forward to tomorrow when the Johnsonville truck is out there, and they got a 100-foot grill. I mean, think about that. They'll be cooking brats, man. We'll be drinking Spotted Cow, and we're going to have a hell of a good time.
Hey, let's go. Let's take a trip back in time, people that haven't heard you on my airwaves in the past. Of course, you played at Florida State, standout record-setting wide receiver, and then you get the call from the Green Bay Packers. Prior to that, had you even seen snow?
Mike, I grew up in Miami. Okay, I grew up in Miami. You know, played in Tallahassee. So the first time that I ever saw snow was right here. And actually, you know what? It was in Fond du Lac, because before I actually came up to Green Bay, I did a special gig like in February, and I landed on Lake Winnebago in a plane on the frozen lake, and scared the hell out of me. But I didn't realize I thought I'd gone to hell, you know. But actually, let me tell you, again, I love my time up here. You know, I had a wonderful teammates. Unfortunately, I talked to Kenny Ellis the other day, who was one of our star defensive corners. And
I got to get Kenny on the air. He was my idol.
Yeah, let me tell you, just a true gentleman, a great teammate. And we started talking about, I was trying to update me on some of my teammates, and a number of them, unfortunately, are passed away. You know, some of the great ones, and it's just, it gets a little scary when, 50 years ago, right now, I was a rookie in Green Bay.
Well, of course, had Bart Starr at the helm, the Super Bowl and National Football League champion, I think six times, maybe more.
More.
He did have two Super Bowls, one and two, and he had him as the coach, so there's a nice slice of history as well.
Well, you know, Bart is obviously one of the great coaches, true gentleman. Now, just to back up, when I first got here, Dan Devine was the head coach. Remember, he used to be the head coach at Missouri. So 73
and Notre Dame is a jackass. Notre Dame,
too. Well, they ran him out of town here. He wants up at Notre Dame, went to the national championship, and you go, are you kidding me? But Bart was our coach in 75, and I remember our first victory. We were 0-5, and we go down to play the Cowboys. They're 5-0. Nobody gave us a chance, and we upset the Cowboys down there, you know, in Dallas. And, of course, Bart gave everybody a game ball because it's his first victory as a head coach. So, yeah, I've gotten a lot of mileage out of the game ball because I don't tell everybody that everybody on the team got a game ball. I just tell them
got a game ball.
I got about three or four touchdowns. You know how that goes. But
you were on the front of Sports Illustrated. You can't, you know, you got a game ball, and you're on the front of Sports Illustrated.
Absolutely. And
that's not BS.
No, that is not BS. So, hey, listen, you know, a wide receiver will do anything to get his face on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in the day. So you got to think outside the box. I did that.
Very creative. Hey, for my young protege sitting across from me, Joe Geiger. I don't know if you've met him yet, but great young man. Over the top, diehard Florida State Seminole. And I know, you know, how you bleed Noles, and you and your lovely bride contribute to that athletic program. Give Joe your perspective on, as far as he's concerned, the biggest travesty in the history of his 19 years on the planet, what happened to Florida State.
Well, Joe, let me tell you this, okay? So this is, I was actually in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta watching the game with a good buddy. Marianne and I were there watching the game and all that. So then the next day we're driving back to Tampa. We're right around Macon, Georgia, and we're listening to the official announcement of the four teams. And then, of course, we got the bad news. Moments after that call, I'm driving the car. The phone rings, and you'll never guess who called me. It was Steve Spurrier, the ball coach, okay, calls me. He goes, Barry, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a Gator. You know, I think of Florida State, but I got to tell you, you guys got the shaft. So when a Florida Gator, Steve Spurrier, tells me we got the shaft, I believe him, and I do agree we got the shaft. That's a travesty, but so much for integrity.
Hey, Joe, tell him where you're at. You guys have the same kind of, same story, but there's only about a 50-year difference between your ages.
Yeah, no, we kind of had the same same problem. We actually went to the game, me and my family, up in Charlotte, and we were on the way home from Charlotte watching the game, watching the selection show on our phones. And then we saw they put Bama in that four spot. The whole car just goes, oh, come on. It's like a whole mess in the car. And it made the next six hours very unenjoyable.
And this is a very Christian family. There was a few colorful words coming out of that car on the way home. Their family trip back to Tampa. And I'm sure there was a lot of Florida State people that felt the same way.
Well, think about this. You know, getting a bid to the Orange Bowl is certainly not a bad thing. I mean, we're ACC champions, we're undefeated, and normally you would be thrilled to be playing in the Orange Bowl. But, you know, it's kind of bittersweet. And think about this. Every bowl game has a press conference, and they have the head coaches there for the press conference. They cancel that press conference because you think Kirby Smart and Norvell wanted to be interviewed about the Orange Bowl game when they're totally pissed off that they weren't in the Final Four, you know. But hey, you know what? You got to move past it. It is what it is. I'm excited about it. It's a huge future, whether it's in the ACC or anywhere else. It'll be interesting the next couple months.
Yeah, it is, and it's fine to play in the Orange Bowl. I mean, especially when the last 4 years we didn't even go bowling. So
see, you're getting some positive.
Getting into the New Year's Six,
and you're 19 years old. You got plenty of years under the Norvell regime, unless somebody steals them away, right, Barry? And you called it. I remember when he came on board, and you and I had breakfast or something, and you said, Mike, watch this guy. I like him. He is the future. Yep. Now, there was a lot of question marks there for a while, but you pegged it.
Norvell is, I think we're very fortunate to have landed Norvell because he certainly turned the program around. You know, all of us, when you're winning national championships and have been there to the mountaintop, you want to go back. And like I said, we've been irrelevant for a number of years, and it's great that we're back. Let's just put it that way. Now, you know, all of college football is going through some really major gut check time, so it's going to be interesting as we move forward and see what actually happens. You know, but hey, on the other side, hey, you know, we're here in Green Bay, and you know, I'm a Packer fan, but I'm also a Bucs fan. I played for both teams. You know, the original team. We're going down to Appleton, and about 3:45, the Buccaneers are going to be arriving at their hotel in Appleton, and we're going down there and say hello to Brian Ford and the team and wish them all the best.
Well, the last time you were up there with your son, Andrew, and as a Packer fan, I wasn't pleased with the result. You were probably torn, but that was the game that the Tampa Bay Bucs and Tom Brady stole one from Green Bay
on
the frozen tundra. And from Aaron Rodgers, a battle of two titans in Pro Football Hall of Fame future. But they went on to win the Super Bowl. So they know how to win up there. And it's 43 degrees. The weather shouldn't be an issue. So
it could be a
W for the Bucs.
Well, you know what? It's going to be one hell of a game. There's no doubt about it. Both teams have a lot riding on it because, you know, both of them have aspirations to make the playoffs and see how far they can go. Again, you know, it's a little weird for me because I like to pull for both teams. So, you know, I can't lose either way.
You got a reversible coat. You got Bucks on the inside and Pack on the outside, and depending upon the outcome.
I do have two hats. Okay, I've got a Packer hat and I got a Buccaneer cap. So, and I carry them with me.
Smart man.
Anyway.
As always, Barry, I appreciate you taking time, and I'm jealous. Enjoy your time. sometime in the near future, you and I have got to get my sons and Andrew, and that'll be one of our bucket list combined Smith Rickard reunion in Green Bay. I think that'd be a blast.
You got it, my friend. You got it. Go, Pack, go, and fire the cannons.
Throw one down for me at Brett Favre's, will you?
Getting ready to. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Barry Smith, of course. He was drafted number one by the Green Bay Packers, and then ended up with the Bucks. And he just loves being up there in the frozen tundra. 43 degrees, holy moly! All right, now Wyatt Ross. It's not 43 degrees when he's down there by the ice. He covers the bolts, the lightning, and hasn't been covering them in person this week. They've been on the road. How are you, young man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Superb. Why don't you break down last week and what took place and what we have to look forward to this week with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they sit in fifth place right now in the Atlantic Division. But, you know, it's a long season and there's plenty of hope.
Yeah, so the Lightning had actually a good week. It was a road trip. They went 2-1. Started out at Seattle. A 4-3 overtime win. Finally get an overtime win. Vasi back to his usual self, another great performance. The Lightning snapped a four-game road losing streak, and they finally are starting to get those OC wins that they've been needing all year. The goal scorers included Anthony Cirelli, Nikita Kucherov netted two, Nick Paul, then Bjorkstrand, Alexiak, and McCann scored for the Kraken. Next, they're going to start their Canadian road trip, still more games to go in Canada this week. They started at Vancouver, a tough game, a 4-1 loss. The Bolts' seven-game winning streak against Vancouver Canucks ended. The Lightning scored this game-opening goal for the fifth game straight, but Vasi struggled, and Thatcher Demko on the other side of the ice was solid with a .966 save percentage. Goal scorers were Braden Point getting the first goal of the game, and after that, four straight for Vancouver from Kuzmenko, and Brock Besser got a hat trick. Finally, to end the week, they were at Edmonton in a 7-4 high-scoring battle win. Vasi was a brick wall, stopping 53 of 57 shots. The Bolts scored the game opener for their sixth consecutive game, and the Lightning scored five in the third period alone. I think all over the news headlines, we could all see Stamkos net at four goals. The other goal scorers were Tyler Motte, Darnell Nurse, Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, Nikita Kucherov, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Anthony Cirelli. As you were saying, the Lightning do stand at fifth in the Atlantic. They're five games out of first and 16th in the league. But if we can start piecing together some wins early on in the season still, we'll be in good shape come playoff time. Look at the stats. Nikita Kucherov is leading the team and the league with 50 points, 20 goals, and 30 assists. Point second in points with 33, and Stamkos is second in goals with 14. While Vasi is sitting at a .902 save percentage, leading the team in that category. Finally, a look at the roster moves quite a bit this week. Cole Koepke was sent down to the minors. Philip Myers was called up to the Bolts, as well as Sean Day. And the Lightning signed Ethan Gauthier to a three-year contract. He's had a couple solid years in the NHL, and hopefully he can start contributing right away.
So what... Give me a prediction on where they'll finish as you're about at the halfway point of the 2023 season, and we go into the 2024. And then he's definitely got to be the MVP front runner right now.
Oh, absolutely. Kucherov has been amazing this year. He is on pace for well over 100 points. I mean, 50 points in under 35 games is just incredible. But at the end of by the middle of the year, I think that they'll be sitting at a top wild card spot by still pushing for that top three in the division. I think it's going to be a battle with Boston, Toronto, the Panthers creeping up there. But by end of the year, I think we'll definitely lock in a playoff spot. I don't know if we'll get the home ice advantage that we want to, but I'm thinking we finish either third in the Atlantic or our first wild card spot, because it's going to be hard to rebound from a tough start to the season. But if anybody can do it, John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning can.
All right, now let's transition. Are you done with high school hockey for a while for the Christmas break?
Yeah, so we're done until 2024, really. My team, Cypress Creek JV Coyotes, we went 1-0-1, tying Jesuit 0-0, and then beating Plant Hockey 7-4. Then my varsity team has won 5 straight games. They were 4-8. They are now 9-8. And Lando is still on top of the varsity league with, I think, 1 loss maybe. Maybe not even that. And JV is led by Cypress Creek Coyotes, Newsome, and Manatee.
Well, young man, wish your father a Merry Christmas. We will not have this show next week. And you have a Merry Christmas as well. And we got to get you down here in-house sometime in 2024 to talk a little more hockey with us. How's that sound?
Sounds awesome.
All right. He's Wyatt Ross. That's our Body Armor Lightning Report, 14 years young. And now let's go to my 19-year-old protege. And, of course, what'd you think of the news? Tyler Glasnow.
I was okay with the Glasnow trade.
You are?
Yeah, I think.
The Dodgers just going to get richer?
Well, I mean, I don't love that he's going to an absolutely stacked team right now because it's, I think MLB may need a bit of salary cap after
a bit.
They just signed Ohtani to a crazy deal, and now they're signing Glasnow as well as Manny Margot. But the Rays did free up some money. They were able to. The Dodgers are going to take their contracts. So, I mean, it's not. I was expecting the Glasnow trade. I'm a little upset with Margot. I thought the Rays could have used him a bit better. I like Manny.
I agree. When I saw that, that actually bothered me more than the Glasnow decision.
Yeah, because I think Margot is a much better than Jose Siri, to be honest. And I would have liked to see Margot stick around more. But you know, it is what it is. Rays, you know, they make trades that you're going to question at the beginning, but they seem to work themselves out, and it's probably going to be one that will hopefully work itself out.
Well, it continues to every time they make a trade like this. Now, I haven't broke down the Blake Snell trade. How did we come out on that trade?
I'm going to say we lost that one.
Chris Archer, we definitely won.
Yeah, that one was a steal from the Pirates, but the Snell trade, I mean, Snell was nothing spectacular until this year. He did end up getting the Cy Young.
2 Cy Youngs.
But the first 3 years he was not that great, and the Rays had
Mejia. He was young.
The Rays got Mejia and Patino, who it just never ended up working out for them. I thought Patino would have actually ended. I thought Patino was going to be a good little pitcher for us, but he got Tommy John, as a lot of our pitchers do, and then he never really returned to the stuff he had in that, I believe it was the early 2022 season, and then we ended up cutting him this year at the deadline. And Mejia, I believe Mejia is actually still in our minor league system on the Durham Bulls. I like Mejia. I think he has a good bat, a quietly good bat. He's got a really good arm for a small catcher.
And we need a solid catcher.
We need a catcher, yeah. And I expect Mejia, if we don't put him on waivers this offseason, to be back on the opening day roster next year.
Well, I
believe Bethancourt is gone.
You know, the Chris Archer trade we made out, like I said.
Yeah, but, well, those guys are gone now.
I know, they're all gone. But at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And this team, the decisions made over here, are pretty much year to year. All right, we're going to come back. Hour number 2, we got Peter Blake, Jake Perper, Brandy Winans. Joe and I will break on down a little bit more of the hot stove things that are taking place across the MLB. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Clubhouse Studios.